Thank you for joining me today. And in these days together, I am talking with you about one verse of Scripture that is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. It is verse 50, and it falls in the middle of the accurate testimony of Matthew, one of the Lord's most intimate disciples and apostles. Matthew, he was a tax collector. He was a Jew working for the Romans and therefore despised by his fellow Jews. They hated him because he collected their money for the Roman government. How could one Jew do that to another Jew? One day Matthew was sitting in his tax collector's booth when Jesus came walking up to him and said, "Follow me." And I love how Matthew writes about this, about what he, Matthew, did. The Bible says Matthew got up and followed Jesus. This is such an admirable trait in Matthew. He immediately followed Christ. There was no hesitation in him. And he followed his Lord all the way to the place where we now meet Jesus, the cross. And succinctly, in Matthew 27, verse 50, Matthew writes, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." I have broken this verse down into two parts. Yesterday we discussed part one, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice." And today we will discuss part two, "And yielded up his spirit." And I remind you that what this whole verse reveals is that despite the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil, Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. Jesus commands his own death. The final breath does not leave his weary lungs until he decides it will, as we shall see today. I hope that by now you have this text highlighted in your Bible. And let's bear down now on the second half of the verse and the reality that Jesus yielded up his spirit. What does this mean? Well, let's begin with the Greek language and the one word used for the two words in English, yielded up. In the Greek language, this is one word, and the word is aphiemi, aphiemi. And it means to give up, to let go, and to keep no longer. But it means to do so intentionally. It is an act of the will. What the Greek reveals here is that Jesus intentionally, by an act of his will, yielded. He gave up. He let go. He no longer kept his spirit. And by spirit, the Bible means his life. Here is the key point. Jesus surrendered his own life. His life was not taken from him by mere wicked men. No. Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. I believe this corrects a common misunderstanding, a misperception that many people have of Jesus' death on the cross. People who reject Christ, and many people who accept him, that is, Christians, have a bad tendency to think that Jesus was a victim of man's wickedness and the devil's hopes. Even though I have consistently demonstrated from the Word of God that indeed wicked men were instruments of Satan in the killing of Jesus, the truth is that God ordained, God controlled, God was always in charge of how and when the Lord will die for the sins of many. We must always be alert for the false idea, the lie that Jesus is a victim. He is not. He dies willingly. He dies intentionally. He dies in control of his last breath. He causes his own lungs to stop breathing. And here I want to take us on a walk over to the Gospel of John so that we can hear the words of our Lord. If you read in the Gospels, you will recall what Jesus says in John chapter 10. This is a very popular chapter in John, really the whole Bible, as well it should be. And today I'll read to you two verses. These are verses 17 and 18. In John chapter 10 and verses 17 through 18, Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." That was John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, and you can read that for yourself later today. In fact, I strongly encourage you to do so. Now, this is what is so wondrous about our Master Jesus. He says what he's going to do, and then he does it. Every time. He is dependable. always, always. This is odd for so many of us because we live in relationship with other people who do not keep their word. We live in a land of broken promises. People say they will do whatever it is, and then they do not. And of course, each of us is included in this. We too are promise breakers. That's part of what it means to be living in a fallen and sinful world, as fallen and sinful human beings. But Jesus was a person who never once failed to keep his word. His word is gold, pure gold. He says he will do it, and he does it. And what he does here is promise that he will lay down his life. That's death by crucifixion. And he will take it again. That is life by the resurrection. He says he has authority to lay down his life, the crucifixion. And he says he has authority to take it up again, the resurrection. He says he received this as a commandment from his Father. This is intense revelation about who God is. God gives Jesus the power to act regarding his own death and his own resurrection. All the power that Jesus the Son has comes from God the Father, and we see that power, that authority on display here in our conversation today. But let me refocus us on what Jesus says at the beginning of verse 18 in John chapter 10. He says, "No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." And in context, it means his life. Do you see why I take us over to John 10:18 in a discussion about Matthew 27:50? These texts must be read together. According to the Lord Jesus himself, no one, no person, no matter how wicked people were, took his life away. No one, also meaning Satan, took his life away. No, no. Christ laid down his life on the cross according to his own initiative. This is what I have been repeatedly telling you. Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. We have a lot of proof for this, but let me give you even more. Turn with me now, if you would, to Mark's Gospel. I want to read from Mark chapter 15, verses 43 through 45. Here we are going to meet a man named Joseph of Arimathea. Briefly, let me tell you about him. He's very unique. As the text will tell us, this Joseph was a prominent member of the council, which is the Jewish Sanhedrin. But unlike the rest, Joseph believed in Jesus Christ. He rejected the conclusion of the rest of the council, the Sanhedrin, that Jesus was blaspheming. Instead, going against the majority, Joseph accepted that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. This Joseph, from a place called Arimathea, northwest of Jerusalem, loved Jesus, and he was rich. Back to Matthew's gospel for just a second. This is Matthew 27, verse 57. There came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. Therefore, he was able to afford a burial place for Christ. And in our text here in Mark, he gathers up the courage to ask Pilate, the Roman governor, whom we have already talked about, for Jesus' dead body. But listen as I read to how surprised Pilate is that Jesus is already dead. And yes, this is important because I'm going to draw out of this reading a lesson for us concerning how much in control Jesus was of his own death. Having set the scene, hear now the word of God from Mark 15, verses 43 to 45. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate wondered if Jesus was dead by this time, and summoning the centurion, he questioned him as to whether Jesus was already dead. And ascertaining this from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. That was Mark 15, verses 43 through 45. The surprise from Pilate that Jesus could already be dead comes from the fact that normally when a man was crucified, he lingered for days on the cross. Crucifixion was very common in this day because it was used widely by the Romans, and victims took days to die. That was part of why the Romans liked to kill on the cross. It was a nasty form of punishment meant to teach a lesson to would-be criminals. But Joseph of Arimathea is asking for the body after just 6 hours. What would normally take days took only hours in the case of Jesus. And sure enough, when Pilate asked the soldier, the centurion, whether Jesus was already dead, the soldier confirms it, and Pilate allows Joseph to take Christ's body from the cross. And I hope that you have connected the dots. Why am I telling you this? Why am I quoting Mark 15? Here's why. Jesus died sooner than normal. And what that tells me is that Jesus controlled when he would die. When Jesus yields up his spirit, when he stops breathing for the final time in his pre-resurrection body, that is the second that Jesus himself has set. Mark 15, 43 through 45 supports Matthew 27, 50. This is the same as how John 10, 17 through 18 supports Matthew 27, 50. Do you see my point? More importantly, do you see the Bible's point? No? Well, then you've got to write to me today and express any confusion you might be feeling. The problem is not with you, it's with me. If you do not understand Matthew 27, verse 50, that's my fault as the teacher, not yours as the student. So there are no dumb questions. Really, there are not. Write to me today, and I'll respond to clarify just as soon as I can. All right, we have divided Matthew 27, 50 into two parts, and I've covered both. And since I am almost out of time here for today, when you come back tomorrow, I will summarize what we have learned, reiterate it, and say one more thing about Jesus' mastery over his own death. I want to ask and answer this question. Did Jesus commit suicide? Did Jesus take his own life as one would by suicide? Maybe you even had this question earlier today when I said that Jesus dies intentionally. Let's talk about this tomorrow, right here on God Is.